That's a little something. I'll be honest with you, I'm not very accustomed to changing my mind around over the course of an afternoon before a service, but I just felt one verse of scripture here just running over in my heart, and this story really as a whole, but this one verse stood out to me, and the Lord's already moved tonight, and I'm not trying to add to or change anything, but revival closed down on Friday night, and I want to leave us with one idea. Here we're going to turn to Mark 14, and we're going to see the context. Jesus is on his way to Calvary, and as he goes, a woman expresses the depths of her love and devotion to him with a costly sacrifice, and her labor of love is misunderstood by others, but it is so commended by our Lord. In fact, he tells those around him that she has done all that she could do, and that her sacrifice will be remembered and rehearsed for as long as the gospel is preached. And tonight, I'm fulfilling that as we're going to go over this story. And I want us to look at this passage for just a few minutes tonight, this evening. I'm not going to try to go through and hit everything that could be said, but just a few things I want us to look at. Mark chapter 14, verse number 3, and we'll read down to verse number 9. If you're there, say amen. Speaking of Jesus and his disciples, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it out on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I want to go back, read verse number 8 one last time. She hath done what she could. I like that. She hath done what she could. I just want to talk to us just a few moments tonight on giving it all you got. Giving it all you got. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. You've been good to us already tonight, Lord. Lord, undoubtedly there have been a couple here tonight that have laid down something special at your feet tonight, Lord, a reminder of our devotion. But Lord, I pray as we read about this woman, challenge our hearts, God, to give everything that we got and hold nothing back, Lord. I love the statement that you make about her faith is that she hath done what she could. And Lord, you know if we do what we can tonight, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as the eternal judge tonight, that you'd be able to say it over every one of our souls, that he or she hath done all that they could do. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister and you'd work in our midst tonight. Anoint your word for the glory of your name. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Once read a story about a Christian businessman who was traveling in Korea. And in a field by the side of the road was a young man pulling a rude plow with an old man held the handles. In other words, they didn't have an ox to pull the plow. There was an old man pulling the plow with a young man there steering it. And the businessman looked over and he said, my, how poor these people must be. And the man that was traveling with him that had been doing missionary work there in that part of Korea, he said, there's something you need to know about those two men right there. They used to own an ox, and they would plow their fields with that ox. But there came a revival through this part of the land. Both of those men gave their hearts unto God, and they didn't have any money. They didn't have anything special to offer God, but they did have an old ox.
And they went out to their field and they offered up their ox unto God because that was all that they had. It was the very best that they had. And all that businessman with tears running down his eyes, he said, oh, how blessed it is when people give all that they have. Oh, I'm going to tell you tonight, it is wonderful when God blesses us with an abundance. Oh, undoubtedly this week God has blessed us to the full. I have watched as God has moved around these altars. But can I tell you tonight, oh, how much more blessed it is when we give God all that we got. To other people, like that businessman, as he rode down the road, they may look at him and say, my, how poor they are. That's all that they can offer. But when God looks down and he sees that it's all that we got, he takes notice of it. He does not forget an offering when it's given in the spirit of all that you got. It's given with all of your devotion. It's given with all of your desire. It's given with all that you are, both body, mind, soul, and spirit. God sees it. We know this story tonight. There is the demonstration of this woman's worship that we see here, and we find the setting of it. The events take place in the little town of Bethany, which was located on the southern slope of the Mount of Olives, just a few miles from Jerusalem. Bethany was a favorite location for Jesus. He had some good friends who lived there. These friends were siblings. Their names were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus often visited them in their home and benefited from their hospitality. It was also this same Lazarus that had died and been brought back to life by the Lord just a short time before this story takes place. So Bethany here is a special place for the Lord. And we're also told that this event took place or occurred in the home of Simon the leper. You know, I picture that story that night as they're having this dinner party and sitting down around the table. You'd find Jesus, the Son of God, seated as he has performed miracles. He has worked mighty works in their midst. And just to look around the table, you can see the evidence of what he has done. Look across the table, at the head of the table perhaps, and there's a man by the name of Simon. There was a time in Simon's life when he was inflicted by leprosy. There was a time in Simon's life he couldn't have held a dinner party. He couldn't have had people over to his home because he was ceremonially unclean. But at the time that we read this in Mark's gospel, he is able to sit down at the dinner table. He's able to sit across from the master and enjoy his company because Jesus had made him whole. Oh, I don't know. We don't know the stages of Simon's leprosy, but maybe it was so advanced that he may have been losing fingers and toes. His face may have once been disfigured by that awful disease. But there he sits at that table that night, and his body is completely whole. He doesn't have a blemish on him. I don't believe he had any marks left over from the leprosy, but Jesus had made him whole. Sitting down at that same table would have been Lazarus. Not just about a week ago, he was laid on a cold, dark tomb. They had given up all hope for him. They had said, surely he has died and there is no hope. Oh, Jesus, as I mentioned this morning, showed up 4 days after when the family wanted him to show up. Oh, and they come up and they said, if you had only been here, my brother Lazarus would not be dead. This same Mary and Martha had recited unto him, oh, the spiel about God. Jesus, if you just would have showed up in time, oh, we could have had rather a celebration rather than a funeral. But we know what took place there. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and any man that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Oh, because Jesus is the one who has the power over death. We know what he did there. He went out to the edge of that tomb. He said, boys, roll away the stone. Oh, master, do you really want us to do that? By now, his body is stinking. By now, he's already started decaying. Jesus said, roll it back anyway. And as they did, Jesus Jesus with the voice that calmed the waves and stilled the waters. Jesus with the voice that told demons to flee said, Lazarus, come forth. And there death had to turn loose of that man, and he walked out of that tomb. Oh yeah. And there he was, sitting down at the table, from the tomb to the table. Here he is, enjoying the company of Jesus. We find some place within the Gospels that Martha is there serving. The woman who had watched all of this had undoubtedly heard about the miracles of Jesus, had known what he was capable of doing, and there she is, working and laboring and doing her part. But yet, it's not Simon, the man who had leprosy, that does what this woman does. It's not Lazarus, who was once dead, that comes and worships at Jesus' feet. It is Mary that comes and offers up a sacrifice of praise and an honorable sacrifice of worship unto Jesus. She never had leprosy. She didn't know what it was to be dead and now be alive, but she had seen what Jesus had done. There are three accounts given unto us of Mary and her interaction with Jesus in the Gospels. At the first time, we find her sitting and learning at Jesus' feet. At the second time, we come finding her falling at Jesus' feet, asking why he had not shown up. But the third time, she's not there to learn. She's not there to ask a question. She's there to give the Lord something, to offer something back. What Simon the leper missed, the opportunity that he missed, what Lazarus Smith. She made the most of it and said, I'm not going to let the moment pass me by.
Oh yes, all of these characters and many more were gathered around the table with a debt of gratitude to pay unto Christ. But it is Mary that acts upon the task. And there she comes. I can picture the scene. Maybe they're talking about the raising of Lazarus. Maybe somebody's asking him, what was it like to be dead and now be alive? What was it like to wake up in a cold, dark tomb and look around? Maybe they were talking to Simon, asking, what was it like when Jesus healed you of your leprosy? And there you watched as your skin that had those sores and had festered and boiled up, and you begin to maybe be disfigured by that disease. And then all of a sudden, for him to but speak the word and the leprosy be gone, for him to do the work in an instant and you be changed. Oh, maybe they're having that conversation around the table. And here comes Mary with her sacrifice. And the Bible said that she bought this alabaster box. Or actually, most likely, it was probably a vessel of some sort. And she came in there very costly. We are told in one place, I believe it was somewhere around 300 pence. That would be somewhere around 300 days worth of wages. And for a woman in that time, for a woman in the first century, 300 days worth of wages was a lot of money. You imagine what you make in 300 days of working. It's almost a year's worth of working. And here she is. She's getting ready to break open the box. She's getting ready to pour it out on his head. She's getting ready to pour it on his feet and wipe his feet with her hair. Oh, everybody around that table had a reason to worship him. Everybody around that table had a reason to offer a sacrifice. But Mary is the one that steps forward and gives him all that she's got. Oh, yes. The Bible tells us that when she comes forth, she breaks that alabaster box or that vial, whatever it was, most likely a long-necked vial. She breaks the top off of it. Why was that? Because in those times, what you would do with that type of oil, it was like perfume. Now, you don't go home. I don't advise you to go home, ladies, and grab your perfume bottle and break the top off of it and pour it over top of your head. Oh, you're going to have some people looking at you mighty funny when you go out to Walmart. You come into this church with a whole few ounces of perfume, or you men, you go out there. I remember my wife's great uncle. He used to wear that Brut cologne, and I declare he bought it in the 5-gallon buckets, and he'd pour it on. He didn't just spray a couple sprays. He'd pour it on. And if he walked in this room tonight, you could smell him from the time that he walked in. He didn't smell bad, but you're just going to smell Brut cologne, that cheap stuff that you buy from Walmart. That's what he liked to wear. Well, let me tell you, that ain't what Mary was offering up. She just want no Brut cologne. This wasn't some cheap by the wayside cologne that she was offering up. This was something that was costly. It would have cost her dowry. It would have costed her time. It would have costed her a very great portion. But yet, you know what she did? She didn't just come in and dab it on, pour a couple drops on top and, you know, make it smell a little better. Undoubtedly, you got to imagine, they walked everywhere they went. Jesus did anyway. His feet were dirty, you know, but it would have probably only took a few dabs of it to get to overcome the odor. That stuff was that strong. But she didn't do that. She reached over there and broke the top off of it, and she began to pour. And as she began to pour, the Bible says that the whole house was filled with the odor of it. The whole house began to recognize what was going on. Can I tell you tonight, when we pour out all that we are before God, everybody's going to take notice. Somebody's going to pay attention. It'll be evident in the entire house. Oh, I've watched it in services. You can tell who's really serious about getting what they came for, because they don't care what everybody else has to say about it. They don't care what it looks like. They don't care if it goes against the tradition. But I'm going to pour myself out at the feet of Jesus. And that's what this woman does. Oh, the statement that she makes, though. Why did Mary do this? She was making a statement about her commitment to him. When she broke the flask, there was no going back. You know, she could have dabbed out a little bit and saved some for herself. Sadly, that's what we do a lot of times. We just break out a little, just enough. Just enough devotion to get us through another service. Just enough devotion to get us through another revival. Oh, but no, when she broke the top off of it, she won't put the top back on after that. It was broken and it had to be all poured out. There was no going back. It was a statement about her commitment. I'm giving all that I am. I'm giving all of this costly ointment unto one that will take it as a sacrifice. The entire contents of that vessel would have to be used now. Her commitment to him was unconditional and it was complete. She was saying, oh, I come here to pour it all out. I didn't come to save a little bit for myself. I come to pour it all out. Can I tell you tonight, some of you, I know you, I love you. Oh, but you got to get to that place that you're willing to pour it all out. You're reserving a little bit here. You're saving a little bit for a rainy day. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, you may never exactly get what you come for. Oh, but when you get to the place that you say, I'll break the top off of it. I'll pour it all out if that's what it takes. I'll give myself completely. Whatever God requires of me, that's what I will do. And that's what she did here. Oh, she was making a statement about the value that she saw in Jesus. You know what? Judas, we're going to mention in a minute, but Judas didn't think necessarily that this was a wise investment. You know, we have poor people. We could have fed a lot of poor folk for this. We could have started a soup kitchen with the money that you spent on this. Oh, but she wasn't worried about that because she recognized something. I find value in who he is. You know what? There's sometimes God requires us to do something that may not necessarily seem like a wise financial decision. It might not necessarily look like a wise use of our time from the outside looking in. Surely you got something better to do with your time than to spend all that time praying. Because you know, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. No, 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 no. That ain't how she walked in there that night. She said, I'm going to pour it all out, and I don't care how much time, how much money it costs me, I'm going to give him all that I got. Oh yes, hallelujah. And that's exactly what she gave. Oh, she was making a statement about her value to herself. By this act, Mary was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. You say, why is that? Because the Bible says not only did she take that ointment and break off the top of it, but the Bible says she reached up and she took the veil off of her head and she let her hair down. Well, that don't seem like a big deal in our time. But in the first century, that was a big deal. The only women that would have uncovered their head were prostitutes in that day. But she said, I don't care what they call me. They can call me whatever they want to call me. I'm going to uncover my hair and I'm going to wash his feet because he is worthy. I'm willing to give up my reputation. I'm willing to sell myself to him. Whatever he desires, I'll give it to him in spite of what they say about me. Oh yeah, you wouldn't have let down your hair on that day. Oh, but yet she reached up there and pulled off the veil. And her locks began to flow down. And as they did, she reached over and with her hair, she began to wash his feet. Oh, showing that she didn't care what other people said about her. She was going to offer that precious devotion unto one who was worthy of such praise. The second thing that we notice about this is not only would only immoral women take off their veil and let their hair be seen by someone other than their husband or their father, but there's something else. Only a Gentile slave would stoop to wash somebody else's feet in that day. It was a sign of a supreme servitude to offer up that praise, to be willing to wash his feet. Now we understand Jews did wash feet, but most of the time, oh, it was an act of the lowest form of servitude, but yet she was willing to do it. She's willing to take that veil off and let her hair hang down despite what anybody else said about it. She was willing there to wash his feet, the most menial of tasks, the most degrading of tasks, but yet she took the Lord's feet in hand and she began to wash them like she loved him with all of her heart, because she did. These feet that were about to be pierced by nails, she washed with her hair. That head that was about to be pierced by thorns, she took and she anointed it for his burial. And that's what he says about it. Oh, she was willing to go all the way with it. Oh, you know, far too many though are like the fellow who called his girlfriend up one day. He said, darling, I sure do love you. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd cross the widest river. I'd fight a team of lions just to get to you if we were separated. He said, in fact, if it ain't raining later, I'm going to come over and see you. You know, we got some folks like that from time to time. If we're not careful, we all have the tendency to be much quicker to speak than really to act on it. Oh, yeah. We'll say, Lord, like Peter did, I'll go with you to death. Oh, but when we're sitting there staring at the possibility, oh, the idea of denying begins to become mighty big. Oh, yeah, we say, Lord, I'd love to have the opportunity to witness for you and tell somebody about your love and about your mercy. But when that skeptic's standing in front of us asking us questions that we don't know how to answer, it's just easier to walk away. It's just easier to say, I don't have the answer, and to want to just get out of the situation. You know, it's easy to say, Lord, if you'll wake me up in the night, I'll plead the blood over my lost loved ones. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the Holy Ghost takes us up on the offer and we're laying there without sleep and we're wondering what in the world, oh, it's a lot easier just to roll over and go back to bed. Oh, instead of offering it up, because we say, oh God, there'll be another time for that. There'll be another opportunity. But I'm here to ask you tonight, will there be another opportunity? For Mary, she'd never get the opportunity to do this again. What if she would have sat at home and said, you know what? Kept her ointment on the shelf. Said, I'll attend the party. I'll listen to the stories. I'll even tell about how good of things that I've seen Jesus do. I'll talk about how wonderful he is to everybody. But I don't know if I'm ready quite yet to go that far. You know what? She'd have never got that opportunity. And you know what? We wouldn't be preaching about her tonight. We wouldn't be telling the story about how she broke the top off of that bottle. We wouldn't be telling the story how she let down her hair and she washed his feet. How she was willing to look past everybody else. She'd have just been another face in the crowd. She might have been mentioned, but we don't know. There's no guarantee. But because she was willing and she made the most of the opportunity, we read the story. And although there's a man there that's been healed of leprosy, although there was a man that was dead and is now alive, they aren't the center of the story. They aren't the one that's offering up the biggest praise. They aren't the one who's given everything. Oh, it's this woman who has only seen what Jesus can do, and she's given everything that she's got. Oh, help us, Lord. Oh, we know what the discouragement that came, the attack. The Bible says that some of those standing there were moved with indignation. The word means to be heavily displeased. Oh, they said, what a waste. Word waste, utterly destroyed. Oh, my, what a waste. I've heard them say it about missionaries. Go out and die on the mission field at a young age. And they say, my, seems like the waste of a good life. Oh, yeah. I've heard it said about people who sold all that they had and followed after some calling. And they said, my, what a waste. I've heard it said about people who gave in offerings and they gave sacrificially. And somebody, my, I can't believe that they would put that much money on the line. I can't believe that they would do that. But yet, while they were discouraging it, Jesus is going to come to her defense. And I want you to notice what he does. I won't be much longer. Oh, this is what he does. While they're discouraging her act of worship, Jesus comes to her defense. Verse 6, he says, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. You know, I think it's clear from this statement that the Lord's heart is grieved at the attitude of men like Judas. Mary has given him an extravagant love, and they have given him nothing. She gave him the best that she had, and they are attacking her for simply loving Jesus. They looked at her gift, and they called it a waste. Jesus looked at what she did, and he said, she hath wrought a good work on me. That word good means beautiful. He said, you call it a waste, I call it beautiful. You call it meaningless, I call it mighty. You call it worthless, I call it worship. It's worth something to me because I know the heart that it comes from. What Mary did was extravagant. It bothered the greedy disciples, but it blessed the Lord. He took Mary's common act of anointing his head and washing his feet and elevated it to the realm of spiritual work. You know, the Bible is clear that God's people are to be engaged in good works. Do you know how to take a common act and elevate it to a level of spiritual worship? All you have to do is do it unto the Lord. And it goes from just being a normal common act to being a sacrifice unto him, worthy and acceptable, good and pleasing in his sight. It may be a monetary gift, a song of praise, a humble testimony, a loud shout, a lifted hand, a kind word, a cup of cold water, or anything else you want to name. But if it's given for his glory and in his name, it becomes an act of worship unto him. If it's given in his name for his glory. Notice the second offense. She hath done what she could. There's a lot that Mary could not do. You know what? There was other people preparing the meal that night, apparently. Oh, she might have been a good seamstress, but he already had a garment. But she did what she could. She did what she could. Can I tell you, God's not asking you to do something you can't do. Because if it's something you can't do, he'd never ask it of you. If it was outside of your means, he'd never require it of you. But if he requires it of you, I promise you, it's well within your means. And it can be said of you, you did what you could. You know what I'd rather them say? More than them say he preached a good sermon, I would rather hear Jesus say he did what he could. He did what he could. Oh, what I gave him, he made the most of it. And he poured it out upon me. I say, God, let that be in our hearts. We do what we can for the glory of God. There's a powerful lesson here. We can't do everything. But we must learn to take what we have and do what we can with it. You can't evangelize the whole world, but you can tell one person at a time about Jesus. You can't feed every starving person, but you can offer somebody a meal if you know they're in need. Oh, there's a lot of things you can't do, but there are some things you can do. And what you can do, do it for the glory of God. Oh, yes. Then he said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. That's an amazing statement. The disciples looked at what Mary did and they cried, waste. Jesus looked at it and said, it's beautiful. Jesus said that this gift of extravagant love from Mary would be retold everywhere that the gospel would be preached. And for over 2,000 years, it's been so. It's been preached about. It's been told. The memorial of her has gone up before God. You know what? If you would, this is his memory box. That's not all God has in there. You know, he has two mites that a widow gave in the temple, that he said, she hath given all that she hath. He has the broken ointment bottle, I believe, in his mind of Mary here. He has the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh of those wise men. He has the worship of shepherds. He has the testimony of the Gadarene demoniac. Oh, he has the praise of the 10th leper that returned to give him thanks. The man who was born blind who said thanks. The man who lay at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years waiting for the water to be stirred, but yet he met Jesus. All of these things that some people may have forgotten, but not Jesus. He has the gratitude of the woman with the issue of blood. Jairus, oh, for the raising of his daughter. Oh, with the widow of Nain for the raising of her son and myriad of others. He has all this and much more in his memory box. He never forgets, and they will all be rewarded for their love, their faith, their worship, and their thanks unto him. Even if it was just those two little mites, he ain't forgot it. Oh, there ain't one thing you do for him when he moves your heart to do it. There ain't one thing you've ever done for him that he's forgot about. Amen. Nobody else may have never seen it. They may not have ever paid attention to it. It may have been done behind the scenes. But I'll tell you one thing, he ain't forgot about it. And you know what? The beauty of it is this. As I said before, he doesn't ask us anything that we can't do. Oh, that little widow woman, she gave those two mites, but she could do it. It was within her ability to do it. It might have been all she had to live on, but she could do it. Oh, Mary, she's going to give up her little nest egg here. Something worth a lot of money. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? God moves on your heart. I don't know about you, but $20,000 is a lot of money to me. God moves on that woman's heart. Give 300 days worth of wages. And if we figure it out right, maybe what that could have been, maybe around $20,000 to $30,000 in today's money. My, God says, in one night, I want you to give all of that. But yet she was willing to do it. She's willing to do it. You know what? God's seen what you've given. He knows what you haven't given. But oh, I am thankful tonight that he takes good notes. Let's stand. Oh, yeah. This old voice of mine will get right one day. You know, so think about Mary tonight. She gave it all she had. I remember being a little boy. And we lived out in the country, far from this area, 50-some acres of land. We didn't get packages every day from Amazon. It was a different time too, believe it or not. It was a few years ago. And I remember we would get a package every so often. And when we did, I didn't care what it was. I wanted to open the box. My dad had his own business. I remember he'd get car parts and he'd get these great old big cardboard boxes. And I asked Dad, can I open the box? It might be a bumper in there for a car, but I want to open the box. There was something about me opening a box, though. If I opened the box, you weren't going to use it again. If I opened it, you're going to tell who opened it. Because I wanted to get in that thing. I'd rip the top off of it, rip the sides out of it. However I could do it, I'm going to get in that box. But I remember there was a few times my mom, she'd ordered something online. I'd go out there, run to the UPS man. That's how we got most of our milk, UPS. It was packages. I'd run out and grab it. But before I got off the stoop, my mom would holler at me. She'd say, don't mess up that box. I might have to take it back. She recognized there's something in there I might have to return. And most of those packages, you got to return it in the original package. There's a label on there. And if you mess that label up, you ain't getting it back. Oh, yeah, you might have to pay some money to redo it. So my mom would holler that out to me. Oh, but I remember the joy when she'd say, I'm going to keep what it is. You can have it. You can open it. I'd rip the top off that thing, rip the sides out of it. It looked like a dog got a hold of it when I got done with it. Maybe you see where Benson gets some of his from. Oh, but that's the truth. Whenever it wasn't going to be returned, when there wasn't nothing going to necessarily be saved to return later, I could rip the box open. Oh, can I tell you tonight, spiritually speaking, that's what she did. She ripped the box open and she said, there ain't nothing going home with me tonight. I'm going to give it all that I got. Can I encourage you tonight? Keep giving him everything you got. You say, Brother Shane, it don't seem like a whole lot. That's okay. That's okay. He ain't going to require more of you than what you got. He ain't going to require of you what only I can give him. And he ain't going to require of me what only you can give him. But he's going to require of you what you can give him. So I say, God, let's give him everything. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for all that you've done. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Help us, God, I pray. Lord, I'm reminded of Mary here as she poured it all out, Lord. She wasn't looking to save any for herself. And I pray, Lord, let us live that way. Whatever it is that you've given us so that we can give away for your glory and offer it up upon the sacrifice of our altars. God, let us give it with a whole heart. Lord, let us offer it completely and entirely, holding nothing back. Let us learn from the memorial of this woman that, Lord, when we give something to you, it is never wasted. Anything given in obedience to your will is never wasted. And I pray, Lord, let us give it all that we got. Everything, Lord, every ounce of energy. Oh, every purpose that we have, Lord, let us point it toward you. And Father, we ask all of these things and many more besides in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to give him all we have, don't you? Hand it all to him because there ain't nothing we've ever committed in his hand that's been lost. I'm thankful for that tonight. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.